Now, I want to read the first verse of the 8th chapter. And whenever he opened the 7th seal, there came to pass silence in heaven of about a half hour. Now, I read that from my translation, which I don't recommend, but I've given you the literal of what John wrote. Now, there is silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Many years ago now, when I was considered a young people's speaker, I've long since passed that stage, I was at a young people's conference here in Southern California, and there were 300 or 400 young people there. And I was out on the grounds of the camp, and I saw coming toward me a group of girls, and in the middle of them, there was a boy, and it looked like they were going to take him apart. They were making a great deal of noise about it, too. I couldn't tell what it was. And finally, they came up to me, and they wanted me to hear what this fellow had to say. And he said to me, he said, "Dr. McGee, did you know that there are not going to be any women in heaven?" And I said, "No, I didn't know that." I said, "Do you have scripture for it?" And he said, "Yes, there's scripture for it." He says, "It says there's going to be silence in heaven for the space of half an hour." And he says, "If there are any women there, there couldn't be any silence for that long." Well, now, may I say to you, I think the young man was rather, you know, probably a little prejudiced, but he sure was surrounded with a bunch of girls, and they were attempting to correct him on that particular interpretation. And I frankly agree with the girls that that's not the meaning here at all. It doesn't mean that there are not going to be any women in heaven. Now, as we open this passage, and may I say that I opened it on that very light note, probably I did wrong. Because here is a passage that has to do with great solemnity and great seriousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is still in command. He opens the 7th seal, and there is introduced a fanfare of 7 trumpets. He directs the action now from heaven. He's in charge. And what's taking place, he is directing. We need to keep that before us through the entire book. Don't lose sight of the fact that Revelation presents him in his glory as the judge of all the earth. You see, it may deceive you to just have it presented to you that he's the gentle Jesus that went about doing good, and he did. But you see, the one who's the Lamb, we're going to have the wrath of the Lamb someday. But the Lamb is the one that, as John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And the world is not lost, actually, because they're sinners. They're lost because they've rejected Jesus, because he died for you. And I don't care, even if you go into a lost eternity and you haven't accepted Christ, he died for you, friends. And you just made it of no avail. You made what he did at the cross a ridiculous, a senseless sort of thing. And you've trodden underfoot the blood of Christ when you take that kind of attitude and position toward him. And so this is a very solemn scene. He orders a halt on all fronts, heaven, hell, and earth. Nothing can move without his permission. He'd already ordered the cessation of natural forces on the earth when he ordered the sealing and saving of 2 definite groups. Now, for a brief moment, there is a lull in judgment activity. There is a heavenly hush. Godet defined it like this, and I'm quoting him, "This silence is a pause of action." I like that. This silence is a pause of action. It is the lull before the storm. Why this strange silence? Well, his patience is not exhausted. When the 6th seal was opened and nature responded with a mighty convulsion, brave men weakened for a moment. Christ gave them opportunity to repent. But like Pharaoh of old, when the heat was taken off, his willful heart returned to its original intention, so many men will go back to their blasphemous conduct when there's a calm. They probably will even rebuke themselves for showing a yellow streak. After all, it was only nature reacting. Wasn't God after all? And everything can be explained by natural causes. That's what they'll say. This, my friend, is the lull before the storm. As someone has said, the steps of God from mercy to judgment are always slow, reluctant, and measured. That's the end of the quotation. God is reluctant to judge, for he's slow to anger. And judgment is his strange work. Isaiah says in Isaiah 28:21, "For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his strange act." What is that? What is strange about God? That he judges, friends. A God of love, judging his creatures. And he says that he hath no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. This silence marks the transition from grace to judgment. He's waiting, waiting. And by the way, he's waiting today, waiting for you. Now, what we have here is the opening of the seventh seal, the last seal, also opened up the next series of sevens. And each one will just slide into the next series the same way, which ties them all together. They are just bound up in one bundle. And we're covering the period that's known as the Great Tribulation period. But when you come to the trumpets, you're coming to that intense part of the Great Tribulation, which we'll see a little later on, labeled the last 3.5 years of it. And we saw last time that there was silence in heaven of about 30 minutes. And it's awesome. It is something that is very solemn and something in one sense to some would certainly be terrifying because judgment is getting ready to come upon the earth. This is right before the storm of the judgment that's coming on the earth during that particular period. And this is the lull before the storm. Now, if you are from the Midwest, and those of you that are listening in the Midwest will understand the illustration I'm going to use now. When I was a boy, my dad, always everywhere we moved, he built a storm cellar. I spent half of my boyhood during the spring and early summer sleeping in a storm cellar because we think today that they have so many storms in that area. Well, it seemed to me like we had quite a few when I was a boy. Late one evening, my dad and I were standing in the storm cellar door, and he was watching this storm come up, and he saw that it was not going to hit our little town in southern Oklahoma. It hit one just about 10 miles away. But before that storm hit, we could see the funnel as it let down near that little town. There was a certain stillness that the wind had been blowing, the rain had been coming down, and there was a great deal of thunder and lightning. But all of a sudden, all of that stopped, and for a few moments, there was a death-like silence. And then where we were living, though 10 miles away, the wind, not a funnel-shaped hurricane or a tornado, but just a straight wind. I've never seen it blow like it did. It's all my dad could do to get that storm cellar door down, and I helped hold on to the chain with him. May I say it broke with all of its fury. Now, that's the way that the Great Tribulation will break upon this earth, and it's presented to us in this way with the trumpets, beginning with verse 2 and going through the 11th chapter, we have the blowing of the seven trumpets.